just going to mark down on the sheet. Uh-huh. Right, when you say each thing. Okay, okay. I'm going to pretend like I'm the tester today. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to check for first all the lights.
The morning temperature is below freezing when I meet 32-year-old Nar Gurung at the Charlottesville Area Transit Bus Depot. He and his trainer, Ken, or Mr. Kenny as the kids call him, are practicing the 45-minute pre-trip portion of the commercial driver's license test. Gurung was born in Bhutan and lived for 2 decades in the refugee camp in Nepal. But now, he's training to be a school bus driver for the city.
So, under the front of the bus, I'm going to check for the string box. So, string box should be... It should not be cracked. No missing nuts and bolts.
Gurung is one of more than 3,000 refugees who have moved to Charlottesville over the last 17 years through the International Rescue Committee's resettlement program. Housing, healthcare, school enrollment, these are all things the IRC immediately tackles when refugees first arrive. But right up there with these...
I help refugees find their first jobs when they come to Charlottesville.
Monty Hackney is an employment coordinator with the IRC in Charlottesville.
Our work is really focused on helping ensure that people get their feet on the ground and become self-sufficient as soon as possible.
Within the first week of a newcomer's arrival, the IRC develops a resettlement plan with each refugee, pinpointing the type of job he or she can realistically get. They craft a resume and discuss any long-term career goals. In their home country, some refugees have worked as farmers, doing manual labor with little education or professional training, while others have been doctors or engineers. But these technical skills don't necessarily translate into American life, at least not immediately.
We hope to put them on a career track where they can contribute to our community with those skills. That almost never happens with their first job. You know, the first job is really about paying your rent and establishing a way to be self-sufficient financially and then build from there.
That usually means jobs in the $8 to $10 an hour range, which in Charlottesville means washing dishes at restaurants, cleaning hotel rooms at the Omni, or working as housekeepers at the Farmington Country Club. I met refugees who do all of these things, but the cost of living here is so high that just one of these jobs will often not cut it, especially if you have a family to support, which most refugees do. According to a recent report looking at Charlottesville's poverty and employment levels, a single parent with 2 kids would need to make at least $17.50 an hour to be able to support themselves independently. Gurung supports his wife, who is pregnant, and his 2-year-old son while helping his parents as well. When he moved here in 2012, he got a job at the Boar's Head Inn. After 3 months, the IRC helped him get a better job as a housekeeper at the University of Virginia Hospital, which hires lots of refugees, starting them at $10.65 an hour. Within a year, Gurung was promoted to team leader and making $13 an hour. Clearly, Gurung was hungry to do more. In the refugee camp, he had worked as a social worker for the United Nations High Commissioner on Refugees, helping suicidal and distraught refugee children. So how do refugees begin to build a career here? Some go back to school, says Hackney. They get the necessary U.S. certification in their respective fields, nursing, for example. The IRC partners with Piedmont Virginia Community College, which offers adult career coaches. And for their first 5 years, refugees have access to the state's STEP program, which stands for Skills Training for Enhanced Earnings Potential. It's geared towards English proficiency and moving refugees from a survival job to a career job. Last year, the IRC introduced Gurung to a new program the city had started called Growing Opportunities, or GO for short. The GO programs flip the traditional job model on its head. Instead of training someone in a skill and hoping to find them a job afterwards, the GO programs develop training curriculums based on the needs of specific employers in town. Then they train people with the assurance of a job at the other end. The city has graduated 7 classes since they started a year and a half ago.
The GO programs at the city have just been like a collective genius.
There's Go Electric for electricians, Go Clean for custodial services, Go CNA for certified nursing assistants, and Go Driver for bus drivers, like Gurung. The program's open to all area residents, not just refugees. But in Gurung's class of 7, 4 were from Bhutan, 1 from Afghanistan, and 2 from the U.S. For months, Gurung's been showing up for training at 7 a.m., which goes until 1 in the afternoon. He goes home, eats lunch, changes clothes, and goes to work at UVA around 5 p.m. He doesn't get home until 2 in the morning. And then he wakes up and does it all again. But it's worth it, Gurung says. Last week, he passed his road test. And pretty soon, he'll start driving actual kids on an actual bus, making $15.18 an hour.
We have to be a hard worker all the time because we don't have nothing here. So we have to
struggle from the beginning itself. So if we struggle, there are lots of opportunity.
In some ways, Gurung's been training for this job since he was a kid, living in the refugee camp. He and his friends used slippers to make small buses to play with. They'd make wheels and attach a rope to pull them along a miniature road.
Yeah, I was to be the bus driver by pulling the rope.
2 months ago, Gurung and his class graduated from the GO program, meaning that after 5 weeks of training, they had all passed multiple tests and received their commercial driver's license learner's permits. A small crowd of about 50 friends, family members, city employees, and area partners gathered to honor them in a ceremony downtown. Each graduate spoke about their experience and how the program had transformed their life. Gurung recalled government-conducted killings, torture, and rape that his family had fled nearly 25 years ago in Bhutan, and just how grateful he was to be here now. His peers agreed and shared their own struggles they had overcome. Afterwards, they all stood up at the front of the room, together, and joined their voices.
We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone today. Oh, deep in my heart, we do believe that we are not alone today.
For WMRA News, I'm Jordy Yeager.